this time, this experience, and in a sense, I see you guys coming and just kind of casting your crown at His feet and sharing that experience with us this morning. So thank you for coming to share the word and share your hearts with us. God bless you. Cassie, please. Zach, thank you for adjusting the mic and so forth. You're probably going to need to do that for all these different heights and stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good... Would you guys introduce yourselves? You know, who you are, where you're from, what your interests are, what your hobbies are. But no.
Good morning. My name is Cassie. I'm from Los Angeles. I actually live there. This has been such an amazing experience being here and living in Jerusalem for the last 3 months. I knew the Lord would do something in my life while I was here, but I had no idea what He was going to do and how He was going to do it. It has shocked me every morning when I wake up just what the Lord has been speaking to me and the person that He is changing me into. And the biggest thing that I've thought about in the last few days, thinking about what I was going to say and what this experience has meant to me, is the Lord is just laughing at me, saying, "Didn't you know that I was going to change you? Didn't you know that I was going to meet you in this place and that I was going to reveal myself to you in a new way? But not just reveal myself to you, but reveal who I have made you to be." And I didn't know that. I believed it, but it wasn't a reality. And it's almost like when I tell people and when I want to tell people how this experience has been and why you should come, it's because there's no greater place to be changed. There's no greater place than to meet the Lord in the place that He lived, in the place that He walked, in the place that when you go there, you're faced with just Jesus. There's no mistaking it. There's no missing out on the things of the Lord when you're in this place. And why wouldn't you want to come here? Why wouldn't you want to experience what the Lord has for you, especially in Israel and in this place? And it doesn't hurt living with a lot of other people in community. You get a lot of stuff just thrown out there that you wouldn't normally if you're on your own. Living with 7 other people who are very different than you it's great and it's challenging, but that's where the Lord spoke to me the most. Things are brought into the light and they're not hidden. And the things in your life that you want to keep hidden come up. And it's difficult and it's hard, but the Lord wants to change it and remove those things that you're holding on to. And one of the biggest things that I've been holding on to for the longest time in my life is just control. I want to control everything. I want to know what's in front of me so people can't take advantage of me, because I have been taken advantage of in the past. And I've lived my life for the past 6 years riddled with just making sure that I'm in full control, that I'm strong, and that nothing can harm me. And a week ago, we had the opportunity to go to the baptismal site in the Jordan. And the night before, we had a time of ministry. And I didn't realize how much of my life was riddled by control and how much I wasn't giving myself to the Lord and I wasn't surrendering all of me. And I had the opportunity to do that for the first time, to realize that the Lord is bigger, the Lord is stronger, and that I have nothing to fear, that I don't have to hold on to control because the Lord holds me in the palm of His hand, and that He knows what is before me, and that He will protect me, and He will be my shepherd, that I don't have to do that. And just in that, I've just had a new perspective on who I am and who the Lord has made me to be, and that's what I walk away with. I walk away with a new perspective on myself. Not my own perspective that is of this world, but the Lord's perspective of me. I just want to read something that has just sunk in my heart. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. It says, So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So thank you.
Good morning. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Wow. I wasn't actually expecting that. That's cool. Well, my name is Aaron. Thanks. I got a little cue. My name is Aaron Brandt, from San Diego, California, going to Life Civic College. Anyways, I just wanted to share a little bit from what God has taught me. I mean, he's taught me so much being here. It's been amazing to live here, live in the land that that Jesus lived in. And I'm just going to read a verse that the Lord really spoke to me when we were sitting, watching the sunrise on Good Friday. We watched the sunrise over the Mount of Olives. And it's one of the lessons that God has taught me. And it's really, the lesson, I'll just say real quick, is that walking with Christ is like running a marathon. And I haven't done much running of marathons. Ron Myers, who spoke a while ago when he was here, he was talking to me and was telling me that, giving me that analogy. And it's really true. I mean, the endurance, just step by step, that's what living with Christ is. That's what having Christ inside of us and walking that out is. It's step by step. And in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And that morning when we were watching the sunrise, we were thinking about Jesus as he walked the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. Stan kind of brought this up, which with every step, Jesus had to submit to the will of the Father. With every step, he decided that he was going to die. And he told Peter, when Peter cut off the ear of the servant, he told Peter, I could have called the Father and he could send 12 legions of angels. But with every step, Jesus decided not to do that. He decided that he was going to die to himself, and he was going to submit to the will of his Father. And so that's really just what the Lord has been teaching me, is that step-by-step submission. It's not a one-time decision, but it's every day. And I know there are people here that have endured much harder things than I have, and gone through harder things, but they decided every day that they were going to follow Christ and continue through it. And so, I mean, that's the call for myself and for all of us, is to decide to die for us, to ourselves, and to submit to the will of the Father. And not only that, but with joy. It's amazing that Jesus went to the cross with joy. It wasn't something that he just had to do, but he went with joy. So I'm still learning that, and keep learning that for the rest of my life. But just wanted to share that with you guys.
Good morning. Good. My name is Jenny, and I'm from Oregon, Pendleton, Oregon. And if I'm honest with you guys, my heart is pounding ferociously right now because I'm actually talking and I'm not singing, and that's like perfectly normal. I can get up in front of a group of people and I can sing and it feels like breathing, but like you ask me to talk and then I just get really nervous. So, all that to say, thank you all for being here, and bear with me a little. I want to say, first of all, thank you so much to this congregation for having such open arms and an open heart. You've just been so accepting, and so it's just made it feel like home while we've been here to come to this church, and it's been very special and a big blessing. So thank you to all of you, really, for being so accepting. When I started to think about what I wanted to share, it was so hard to wrap my finger around one thing because God has touched my life in so many ways since I've been here. He's shaped me through living in an extremely close-knit community and learning to encourage and depend on one another. Those of you from Shevet Ahim here this morning know what I'm talking about. He's taken me away from a lot of things I depend on in the States and led me to depend on him in an even greater way. He's increased my faith in the power of the cross by being here where it all happened and seeing it with my eyes. And one more very special thing he's shown me in these last 3 months is that you cannot judge a book by its cover. James is one of the books we reflected on while we were here, and James 2:2-4 states, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Wow. How easy it is for us to think sometimes we're doing a great honor by humbly serving the big name, famous guests that come to our homes or our communities or our churches, when God is saying, "You aren't really getting it at all, are you?" To be like Jesus is to humbly serve with just as much enthusiasm the poor man, with just as much love the no-names and the nobodies, because people are the Lord's greatest treasures on earth. And it is not up to us to decide from the cover if a particular book is worth reading or not. In Israel, I have definitely encountered God and people I didn't expect. When I first got here, I received a word about finding the Lord in lowly places and people, and I was like trying to figure out what that meant and if I was supposed to like go seeking orphans and widows on the street or whatever, and I'm trying to make it happen. But all God was really trying to say to me was, don't judge a book by its cover. One of my first weeks here, I received a random act of kindness from a Muslim woman on the Mount of Olives who was picnicking with a friend, and I just stopped and I just watched them picking flowers, and I just smiled, and she just came over and handed me a flower and said, "For you," and just smiled, and it was so open and so warm and sweet and precious, and it just melted my heart, and I thought, don't judge a book by its cover. Another thing that God showed me about being lowly is that it can simply mean being humble. And in my time here, I've also encountered some of the most humble servants of Christ that I've ever met in my life. For example, I wasn't expecting to make friends with the German volunteer who works at the convent we stay in, but I did. And although you guys probably don't know her, she has one of the biggest hearts for Jesus ever. And I didn't even know I was going to meet her when I came here, but she taught me so much about the Lord, and she challenged me personally about what it truly means to trust in God. I also met many wonderful people at Shevet Achim, who are such a beautiful example of taking care of God's treasures and humbly giving of their lives to help families that many would consider nobodies or not worth it or a waste. But I know not an ounce of love is being wasted there because Jesus cares about those families. So thank you guys for what you're doing. So I've been learning that to see people through God's eyes, you can't judge a book by its cover. People are God's greatest treasures. And so I encourage you today, don't be stopped from loving someone because of their cover, but be willing to look inside and love, knowing the incredible value that God has written on the pages of each person's heart.
Hello. For those who don't know me or don't recognize me because of the haircut, I'm Zach. I've been playing bass and guitar here at Narcisse for like the past 12 weeks. For those of you who don't know me, like just last week, I had like really, really long, like swooping California surfer hair. It was wonderful, but then it got hot and overly tedious. What I want to talk to you guys about that God has shown me for a long time, but especially here, is endurance. And for me, endurance comes from perseverance. Perseverance comes from suffering. And with suffering comes from many things. But a big one for me that suffering comes from is loss. You know, I'm late for work and I lost my keys and it's worse than it is. This morning I lost my sunglasses and I don't know where they are. And so, you know, but suffering for Christ, I'm pushing through this one. You know, I lost my dog. Not that this actually happened to me, just as examples, you know, losing a house, losing a wallet, losing a loved one, whether it's a father, mother, daughter, God forbid. Suffering comes from loss. It's huge. Sorry, I don't have a whole lot prepared, so my thoughts might be a little scatterbrained. But the church thrives in chaos. That's something that God has told me over and over again since we've been here. It's like the phoenix that rises from the ashes, and it's how Christian individuals function. For me, I got the message of endurance when I was in high school just because of a bunch of small stuff that stacked up that I was dealing with. But I just started seeing how dark the world is. You know, Shevet Achim knows. I mean, all the guys, everything you people are doing with the war and the borders and everything that's happening in Darfur. I mean, there's just recently, you know, the Boston bombings, and then aside from that is all the individual matters of, you know, just molestation and murder and robbery. It's just the world's a really dark place. But some, like, God uses that for the church to thrive in. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, the church was the first on the spot and was able to do so much good through that. And so, has everybody in here seen Star Wars? I know it's kind of a jump. My favorite little green Martian, Yoda, says, "Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering." There are two aspects of this. This suffering works this way, to where it works backwards with what he said as well. Suffering leads to hate. Hate leads to anger. Anger leads to fear. And fear is crippling. It ruins us through and through. It shows, like what Jenna read this morning, it shows a lack of trust in God. I'm going to try to keep this in 5 minutes. It's crippling. Like I said, scatterbrain thoughts. I'm still trying to process all this. But there's the other aspect. It doesn't have to be this way. We see that we endure, and when we endure, it builds so much. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. So pretty much we have the two aspects. When suffering comes your way that you can take is where you become bitter and resentful and fearful from it. But then there's the aspect that Peter takes on when he says, "Supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Now, this was something that really hit me the week before we came to Israel, was this perspective of layers. I don't know how cold it gets in Poland, Holland. I am so sorry. American geography is terrible. we get the best way to do it. It's layers. You know, you have your base layers and you stay warmer. The Japanese, when they made their katanas, it was forged steel that they would layer and fold over itself over and over and over again. For whatever reason, one of my teachers, the analogy she really took to was a jawbreaker. One of the 90s jawbreakers that were, like the size of a baseball, and it was just, sugar coat after sugar coat after sugar coat. And then if you've ever seen them, like a jawbreaker cut in half, they have like all these, like you can see it where the layers stretch out. And because of those layers, like the jawbreakers are exceptionally strong, hence they're named jawbreakers, because you can chip teeth and break your jaw trying to cut through them. And so that's where endurance came in for me, is it's the faith in God. And it was huge for me. And since I've been here, all this stuff that of where my confidence is in God and who God is, it's been amazing. This has been a very unique experience and trip, and I've made so many good friends and made so many relationships and great people. But as far as what I wanted to share was Christian endurance, using your faith to withstand the storm, weather it out, and taking it from a aspect of love and faithfulness. And as dark as times get, especially here, but endure. Stay faithful.
Hello. I feel the heart pounding, Jenny. You guys come up here once in a while, you'll feel it. It's like a roller coaster. First, I just want to read something out of Habakkuk in chapter 3. It's I know most of you probably know the story, and I have to say, first of all, it's like really intimidating, like saying anything from up here, because there's so many scholars and linguistics in the room, and so I just want to say, like, this is really hard to be up here, guys. So please have grace on me if I get anything wrong. But around 586, when Judah fell to Babylon, Habakkuk has this conversation with God of, you know, what are you doing? Like, why is this happening? And God's saying, I'm doing something you won't believe. And Habakkuk's like, what? And he's like, I'm raising up the Babylonians to judge you guys. And he's like, yeah, I don't believe you. And so this is, he goes back and forth with arguing with them. Well, kind of not arguing, but, well, it says his complaint, but it's pretty cool, the relationship that he has with God. And it kind of reminds me of to be open with the Lord and not hide anything and to really share our feelings with him. And so this is what he says near the end. He says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And coming back to this, the first thing I think of if he enables me to go on the heights is he enabled me to walk up all these big hills in Jerusalem. I can't believe like how many big hills you guys have. Like, it's crazy. I mean, like, we would do, like, sites. Sorry to go off on this, but I just was, like, amazed at how many, like, large hills we would have to walk up. But it was cool. I really felt like this verse was on my heart since last semester. Last school semester for us. And we each have a different story on how we got to Israel and how we got to be able to come here and learn so much. And my story is... this is the second year, and the first year I kind of wanted to go and I had an urge to, and then I kind of passed it by and I was like, well, you know, I'll go to Israel sometime in the future. And last semester, I just remember, I started going through a really hard time, a lot of areas in my life, and just, it was really hard. And I just, in these times, I leaned really close to the Lord and I really, just depended on him, and like I started learning what that means, and God was just like, go sign up for Israel. And when he told me to sign up, it was like months after Jenna's shaking her head yes, because she knows that I was a big hassle when I signed up, because it was like everyone was signed up, everyone was ready to go, people were paid and stuff like that. But I literally, God told me, and the next day I went to go sign up, and all the money and everything came through within like 2 hours. And so it was pretty amazing. And so I came here with a lot of like expectations, and like not on the place but on myself and where I'd be. I mean, the expectations I had, like, it's surpassed, it's amazing, and I really have such an amazing appreciation for this place, for the history that's happened here with the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians, and, you know, the people here today, and of course, I mean, Jesus. But I had expectations of, like, you know, I'll go through this time of being away, being across seas. This is my first time out of the country. And, you know, I'm going to learn so much, and I'm going to be, like, almost perfect when I leave, you know? Just that. That's what I thought. Guess what? I'm not near that at all. I think I might have actually went. No, I'm just kidding. It was funny because I really felt like, I felt like the wall started coming down as I've been here, because I just, everything that was comfortable to me was gone. I mean, like, I ate at McDonald's 12 different times within 4 weeks. I mean, like, that's because it reminded me of home when I ate there, and I really love McDonald's. And I know that's very bad for the record. I'm working on my appetite, you know. Anyways, but I mean, like, there was nothing here that it was just so different from home. And it being away from home, at least for me, my first time out of the country for, I mean, 3 months might not seem like a lot, but to me it was. And and living with seven different people, which are amazing. But we had our times, let me tell you. But I mean, just with the culture of walking into a restaurant, you don't know if they're going to speak English or not. And we studied, Hebrew, and I'll still study it. But I mean, everything is so different. Everything is crazy. And so, in this time, I just felt like my whole world was beginning to like shatter. And even until this very last week and these very last days that I'm still here. And I related to Habakkuk so much because his home and everything that he believed in and everything, I mean, Judah, like, you know, this is King David and the line of the Messiah to come through, and like it's falling apart. And not only is it falling apart, but God's causing the destruction, which is so, it's crazy to me. And so imagine, you know, I could relate to his response. So in my own heart, in the temple that's in with us, it's almost fallen apart. And it's like God has caused the things to happen to be destructive so he can build something new. And I want to say like, okay, it's over and I'm ready for the next season. My new temple's built. But it's so far from that. And I'm learning and I'm taking home just such a better understanding of leaning on the Lord and leaning on him. And I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but really, I mean, my first thoughts of like when I feel anxious and when I feel worried and concerned, to go straight to the Lord with everything. And just like how he like argued with God, what are you doing? I don't get you. Why are you causing this destruction? And God had gave him the answer, and Habakkuk had this understanding of like, I see. And this, you are Lord, and whatever you do, it will be okay. And I just imagine him like facing just like a painting where I wish I had an example, but just a painting of seeing like just a man looking out into a destructive world, but still at peace. And I feel like for me, that's a good example of faith. And when you see like chaos, and when you see, you know, the world just falling apart, as Zach was kind of talking about, but you still stand there and just in complete peace and believing that the Lord, he knows what he's doing. And I just am so encouraged being here that I know now that he knows what he's doing in my heart. And so thank you guys.
So that is Abraham Chase. He's from Palmdale, California. He goes to Life Pacific College. He's a jokester, as you guys can tell. He forgot to introduce himself, so I figured I'd introduce him. Now me, my name is, onto me. My name is Salvador Galindo. I'd like to point out that the bulletin forgot the O at the end of my last name. No judgment, it's okay, I forgive you. I just want you to know that my last name is Galindo. So, I enjoy long walks on the beach and all that good stuff. I don't enjoy long walks up a hill, but I guess, you know, I had to suck that one up while I was here. Well, as everyone has expressed, there's been so many things that the Lord has spoken to me specifically and us corporately in a group setting that was quite difficult to manage, but you know, we pushed through, and you know, we're a family now, and that's something that I'm very thankful for. You know, I have these people here whom I love very much, and even you guys, you know, just all of you guys have been, it's been so awesome. You know, Annika and Leanne and Jesse and Mari, and even you guys from Sheva Tahim, and you know, everyone here, just how welcoming you guys are, is mind blowing. It's very, very moving for me as an outsider coming into this country and not really having my bearings and not really knowing what's going to happen in this country or what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say wrong, which I have done, but it's okay. I've figured that out. So as I thought through what am I going to say to these people, and so I came up with this. It's been a just to put, I received Jesus, the Lord, when I was 16 years old. I am 23 right now. So I have not known the Lord for relatively a long time. And that has been something that's been very difficult for me, very hard. I've grown up without a father figure at all. My father died when I was 3 of cancer, and my grandfather passed away when I was 10 of cancer as well. So, you know, my life has been a life of costly experiences. You know, it's cost me a lot to be living, and you know, it's, you know, because of that, my mother was never stable, and because of that, I was never stable. To say the least, you know, it was a rough life in the sense, you know, personally, it was very difficult. But when I was 16, I accepted the Lord, and that changed everything. And even coming up into this, to this specific trip, I have come to realize that it's very costly. I was talking with Stan and Molly the other day, and I explained how, quite literally, it felt like I was in Disneyland, and I was just going about my day, having fun, riding the rides, saying hi to Mickey Mouse, and all that good stuff, and I feel like the Lord literally just, like, picked me up out of Disneyland and was like, let me just put you over here, and quite literally put me in the desert, both, you know, physically and in reality and metaphorically. He put me in this desert. He took me out of my comfortable spot in life that I was living, on a quite destructive path too, and brought me to this place where he's just spoke to me and said, you know, even before I came to this trip, he just told me, I'm gonna change you, Sal. I'm gonna change you. You're not gonna be the same. You know, and of course I'm like, all right, yeah, of course, Lord, you're gonna change me. I know you're gonna change me. And coming into this, that is exactly what happened. I, you know, the person you see right now, this is Sal. This is me. This is who I am. And this is who I wish I would have been for these past years. And I'm very happy to say that you guys are seeing, you know, the real person, the real Sal that I am very happy that the Lord has revealed and that I can now live out freely. So let me go ahead and read the scripture that I have got for this just before I go on. It's Matthew 8, verse 18 through 20. And this comes after Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, which we also visited, and it's a very lovely place. I recommend you go in there. Yeah, this is after that. And so anyways, I'll just read it. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And when I read this, I remember the first time I understood this because it was explained to me. You know, Jesus is saying, like, you want to follow me? Do you really know what it costs to follow me? Do you really know, you know, it's going to cost you something? And I remember really realizing that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's right. It costs me a lot. And when I look back before I came here, it cost me a lot. I went through, you know, a hard financial time. Just a lot of things just started coming. I'm like, geez, why am I even going to this place? All this stuff is happening. I don't even know why I am choosing to do this. But looking back in hindsight, this was the best decision I've ever made. Aside from accepting the Lord, of course. That's a given. But this, you know, this is one of the best decisions I've made in my life. And, you know, just the opportunity to meet all you people, just the opportunity to meet people in general, and to make these beautiful relationships that are going to last. And I look back and I'm like, geez, Lord, it did cost me. It cost me something that I realized I never even really wanted. It cost me this life of sadness. And I'm like, what is my problem? Why didn't I ever just accept what the Lord had for my life? But I can gladly say today that I've accepted that, and I'm very happy that I have realized this here of all the places, and that I can walk forward now with new relationships. Joe and Jordash, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention you guys. Also a new relationship I'm looking forward to having. Sorry, you guys just came to my mind, so I just figured I'd let you guys know. And I just look forward to living this life of freedom and grace that I have, and to really be who I am and not this person that I never want to be again. You know, I never want to be that person ever again, because it's quite constricting, and I don't like feeling that way. So I don't want that. But Jesus he's changed me, and it's been an awesome time here. And I'm glad to say that I came here one person, and I'm leaving a completely different person. And the Lord has really supplemented that. So I've heard it said once that someone else has probably said it better than you, so I should probably end it with a quote, and this is exactly what I'm going to do. Because someone else has it said better than me, so I might as well just walk alongside them. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again and again. The gift which must be asked for, the door which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. It is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Troop, and I'm from South Dakota, the United States. I grew up on a farm, so just thought I'd tell you that. It is an honor to be here. It is an honor to share, and I just thank you all so much for having us, for befriending us, for putting up with us, for just letting us be here, and it is such an honor. I never thought in my life I would be in Jerusalem, and I think I'm still in awe that we are. So it's just a lot that I haven't been able to explain. I'm still kind of dumbfounded, but it's been stretching. It's been a challenge coming here. And like a lot of us have shared, we've been pulled out of where we're comfortable, where we've been at home, and thrown into this whole new place. And I think some of it has been hard because it's so many things all at the same time happening. So then when it comes to little things such as trying to order coffee, I'm just like, I don't understand why this is so hard. And my first name is Brandon, my middle name is Benjamin, and so I just started saying my name is Ben, because it's easier just to say Ben instead of Brandon. And I have a lower voice, I don't know, all of these things, and I'm just like, my name's Ben, that's my order, so that's just life, that's what's happening, so. it's never dull, I tell you what, it's never dull, but I love it. One of my favorite songs we've been able to sing a few times here, The lyrics go, mountain higher or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul that I am yours. And it makes me think of how Jesus works with us, how Jesus leads us, and how Jesus is shaping us and discipling us throughout our life. We've, you know, alluded to life being like a marathon, or this journey where we need a lot of endurance, and that's true. And whether we're in a valley or going up a mountain, I've seen myself, you know, in both places, and thinking, God, you are crazy, and I don't know how this is going to work, but I trust you. And I love that about Jesus. I love that how he doesn't just kind of stay off in the way we would think about just God being far away from us. He's right there. It's like when you're doing something fun in the kitchen, you're baking cookies, or you're getting your hands in it. Like, you're just, Jesus is right there in our life, and he's saying, all right, just hold on to me. I'm coming along, and just follow me through this. And to me, that has shown me that God has been so faithful, so faithful. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me was, in a nutshell, I've uprooted you from all the things that you are putting your identity in, so that your identity is found in me alone. And I didn't know how that was going to work, but I think about that, how, what are my roots in? What are we placing our lives in? And we can easily depend on so many things for our life, instead of solely depending upon the source. And two things, some scripture and kind of a story I just want to share. But speaking of the source of life, in Psalm 42, it reads this: as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. And throughout this psalm, the writer is in a place of utter frustration. He's in a place of, God, why, in verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him. And what this psalmist has done is said, I'm not going to allow the turmoil to speak over me, but I'm going to speak to it. He said, and he goes on and says, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. He goes on further down, he says, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is within me. And so he starts to reverse these things. He starts to, three times he says, remember. And down in the last verse he says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Last year I went through a really challenging season. And I felt like I had came to a point where I had no energy, I had nothing, I had no passion, and I felt like this so many times. And I went to a Christian concert. It was a huge, there was so many, it was like a festival, just lots and lots of musicians. And this worship leader named Christy Knuckles was sharing about her life, and she said that the enemy, God was revealing to her that the enemy had silenced her song at this point in her life. And God's just spoke right to me. He said, that's exactly what's happened to you. And I just, it made sense. The light bulb went on. And through that, God has been teaching me over and over Psalm 42. As we've been here in Israel, there's been challenges. There's been mountains we've walked up, and they've been really hard. And sometimes it's felt like we're in a dark valley. And the Lord has just reminded me, speak to these circumstances. Don't stay silent. Don't let your the song that I've given you, just let it out. And so I'm really grateful for the things God is showing me. And I just want to say, what do we take away from being here? And I would have to say, my identity is more rooted in Jesus and less in material things, less in the false comforts that I put around myself. And I also take away that Jesus is so much more faithful than I ever imagined. And I can trust him to take me anywhere. So thank you again for having us, for letting us share. So, amen.
Emmanuel read from Revelation chapter 4. I want to revisit that. It says, around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And then it says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And reflecting on that a bit as each one was sharing, being full of eyes and seeing the Lord, just covered with eyes. We need a lot of eyes to behold the wonder of the Lord, to experience him, to grasp, to see him. I've seen you, Lord. Each one of you have been saying in different ways, I've seen this about the Lord. I've seen the Lord in this way. And in the light of seeing him, I see more clearly. And thank you for sharing. Each one of you, thank you for sharing your experience and just kind of sharing what you've seen through your eyes. The Lord invites us to constantly to come in and to behold him, full of eyes, to see him and to continue walking that way, the glory of our life and walking in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and knowing him more and more. If there's anybody here this morning who hasn't begun your walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, he simply invites you to come to him. He invites you to receive life in him, the life that he purchased for you by his death on the cross, purchasing forgiveness, purchasing freedom from eternal death and giving you eternal life. If there's anybody here who feels a stirring, a tug, and you know you've never received that offer, the offer of life in Jesus Christ, and you know you need him, then just open your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. Today I receive you. I want to begin life in you. I'm lost without you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Let's sing. We've sung all service long. We've sung different expressions and we've heard different expressions of the amazing love of God. Can we stand together and let's worship the Lord once again with this expression. We honor you, Lord, with our offerings to you this morning. We honor you with the offerings of our life, the expressions that have been lifted to you this morning, each one who has shared for your glory, Lord. How glorious you are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this time together this morning and for your blessing on each one. Linda, would you come, please?
Part of the joys of living in Jerusalem is you get to meet so many people from around the world. And some come for just 1 week, and we get to see your smiling faces, and we're happy to have you here to worship with us. And some, like our team, come and they stay and they serve for a longer season, and we've been very blessed to have you. And we'd like to say farewell and have a little gathering afterwards. We have a cake for you. And so we invite all of you to join us. And say hi to our team and get to know each other and give them an encouraging word, or if they've touched your life somehow, tell them. And team, I just want to thank you. You guys have just been great. You've been a huge blessing to our congregation, and you leave with Israel in your hearts, but you're also leaving yourselves in our hearts, and we're just very glad to have you. And I just want to encourage you. A lot of you talked about the steep hills in Jerusalem. I know those well. I just want to encourage you, you know, life is full of steep hills. And just remember, your feet are on the solid rock, and keep walking up with the Lord. Okay? Thank you. So come on outside. We'll have cake.